Welcome to Wolf Den's Geelong Cup set, where we have hit the big time. We've arrived at racing.com offices and we're here with racing.com royalty, Mr. Ben Ascari. Welcome to Wolf Den's Geelong Cup set.
Cheers. Thank you very much for having me, and it's plenty to live up to after that intro.
That's great to be down here. So Geelong Cup, it's a big meeting. It's got a long history in terms of throwing up Melbourne Cup winners and horses that run really well in the Melbourne Cup. Doona Dan, Americaine, of course, Media Puzzle way back in the day. So it's an important day of racing. So what we like to do in our Saturday set and in the Geelong Cup set is have a look at a few feature races. So we've picked out three feature races. We're going to look at the Geelong Cup, the three-year-old race, and then also the dual choice plate, which is the sprinting race on the card. So why don't we start with the Geelong Cup? It looks a very strong race.
Sure does. It looks a terrific addition. And you know, it seems in recent years we haven't had the strength that we did, you know, five to ten years ago. But this is, whether they all run or not, I'm not sure, whether some might head to a Moonee Valley Cup on Friday night. But, you know, on Monday acceptances, it's a very strong race with so many angles and so much depth to it. So it's a tough race, though, because having a look at the map, there doesn't look much speed at all. Mm-hmm. And then you get the further complicating factors of horses like Birdman, One Smooth Operator, who are having their first start, these internationals here in Australia, and lining up their form. Market suggests that Birdman's the one of those two. It looks a little bit sharper. It's only lightly raced with a couple of wins from four starts. But in terms of sorting the race out, I think Miramasa is going to be well suited and probably going to be the horse I would have on top for racing.com come Wednesday.
Okay.
Top selection wise, I think he'll get conditions to suit. I think he's a bit more tactically versatile than, say, a horse like Francesco Guardi, who I've been really waiting to get to 2,400 metres. I think he's ready to win, but he draws wide. And, you know, when Waller draws wide, he tends to go back. So I think he's going to have his task cut out for him from that draw. Could be a race where I maybe have something small each way on Vow and Declare. He was just
the
going...
The old boy, another Melbourne Cup winner.
He was going really well two starts ago. I thought he'd run in the Underwood behind Buckaroo. It was outstanding. Wide and working in a fast run race, and then I don't know what happened last time out. He went to the Might and Power, and it was just too bad to be true. But forgive him one poor run, and he's one that actually might be able to push forward and run a bit of a race. And I think, you know, he's about a $34 mark. So look, I think he's over the odds. He could be the horse that I could potentially back, but you know, it wouldn't surprise if Birdman measured up. The market's suggesting he will. It's a very, very interesting addition to the Geelong Cup, and it might actually have an impact on the Melbourne Cup this year.
Yeah. All right, so there's no official Geelong Cup tip in the race.
No.
All good, but there's a couple of plays there. Let's move on. Let's go to the Geelong Three-Year-Old Classic, which, of course, is a bit of a lead-up to the Derby. And the Derby looks wide open this year, doesn't it?
Sure does. Yeah, it sure does. And I quite like this race. The favourite in early betting is Lavalier, who was good running fastest last 200 metres of a high-rating superimposed stake. So you can see why the market's found him. But it's really interesting, having heard a little bit of commentary about this horse's family, he's a half, I think, to Pericles, and there's a few others that have all looked good up to 1,800, but none have really stretched out to 2,200 metres. So that's interesting for a horse that's, you know, the 260 favourite. I really like Oxford Blue in this race, so he will be an official
Geelong Cup.
Yeah, official set. Geelong Cup set for me. He won his maiden at Sale after running really well at Sandown on debut in what has proven a really strong form race. And he was strong late there from off the speed at Sandown, but went to Sale in a race with no speed. He controlled things from the front and just sprinted away off a very slow pace. But he's by Fioronte and he just looks a natural stayer. So I think it was a little bit of a bonus the way things worked out, but he might be even better suited up to the 2,200 metres. So he's the one that I think has got some real upside and might be a pretty nice horse going forward, Oxford Blue. So I think he can throw his hat in the ring as a potential left field Derby contender come Wednesday.
Have you done much form on the Derby? Have you seen any horses? I mean, a lot of the exposed this week because we've got the Vase and the Valley Spring Champion up in Sydney.
What I would say is I'm not going to be trusting the classic on Saturday from Caulfield as a form reference.
The King of Wall Street.
Looks like, not to say that any of those horses can't measure up, but it's not a form reference how slowly they went. I just don't think, you know, Keeneland went from the fast run superimposed to that slowly run race. It was almost like a different sport for him. And I don't know if he was suited there. So I want to see the Geelong Classic on Wednesday, the Vars, and particularly the Spring Champion. I think the Spring Champion will probably throw up the horse that might start favourite in the
Yeah, it's a
Derby.
group one, so
Yep.
yeah.
And it's just, I don't think the form in Victoria has been overly strong so far.
Yeah, very good. All right, let's move on. We have the dual choice plate. We'll get the market up there.
Another good race, this one, on a strong card of racing. It's been pretty impressed with how this meeting's come up.
And so what did you make of it?
Yeah, this is an interesting race because Moby Dick was just so good first up, winning down the straight on wet ground. And I really liked him second up, like it seemed the whole of Australia did. And he had he got a bump at the start. He over-raced, he was keen, he wasn't beaten all that far. So I suspect he has the talent to win this and win it impressively and go on to bigger and better things. But you have to take, what are we looking at? $3.10 about a horse who misses the start every time he goes around. And last preparation, he was best fresh and then sort of tapered off in his form. So there's two narratives that you can make, that there were excuses last time out. He maybe peaked third up and he's just the best horse in the race. But look, I'm against him at the price for the reasons I've outlined. And there's a couple here at double figures that I'm really keen to be with. One of them's Telbragar, who's had five first up runs and has an outstanding first up record. The other is Yellow Sam. So I'll start with Yellow Sam, who first up went around in at Caulfield on Guineas Day and was a well discussed the track. I think it was advantageous to probably be in those first few lanes, and she was out the back from a wide draw, fastest last 200 metres of the race, and now she draws in. She has shown that she's tactically versatile, doesn't have to go back, and has settled close to the speed previously. So I think she can settle a lot closer than what she did first up. And parking behind what looks a really good speed in this race, Jungle Jim, Paldoro, Grand Impact, Iron War, Kaizad, there's quite a few speed influences. So she can park just in behind that. And if she gets a split, so I think be really strong late. And as I mentioned, the other one I like is Telbragar, who four from five first up. And the miss was first up last prep down the straight, which is on that day Estriella ran that huge peak figure. It was the race won by Midtown Boss. Wider draws were a big advantage, and he was back towards the inside and ran third and was held up, ran really well. Probably should have run second and maybe been in the finish there with Midtown Boss. So he's a bomb fresh. He's jumped out well. Just note, if you're looking at the jump outs, he was the horse that ran third, not the one listed running fifth, because he's got the big blaze, so it's pretty hard to miss that it was him running third. He went really nicely there. Bomb first up, and you get double figures to find out. And I think he'll get a lovely map in behind all that speed. He's got pace, but he'll probably just park in behind all that speed off the fence from gate seven. And I think he's over the odds, definitely.
Yeah, cool. So both of them are official Geelong Cup set tips.
Yeah, I'm going to back both of them, the five Yellow Sam and the seven Telbragar in race eight, the dual choice play.
Very good. And can we get any other Geelong Cup set tips anywhere else in the meeting?
Yeah, in the last, I've another one that I think is over the odds at double figures. It's a race where Belt Hill is that interests me. So he's a bit of a first up specialist. He's got a terrific first up record. He's off two trials, both of them good. He usually trials or jumps out well. He's the type of horse that he trials well, then he races well first up. He's drawn the inside gate, so he's going to need some luck. It's a race where there does look good pace on paper, but you're getting, what is it, $11 to find out early, and I just think that's over the odds. The favourite's Modown. He's third up. He's got Blake Shinn on. He's a horse I've always liked, but I've just got reservations over him up to 1500. Last prep, he looked the winner in the run at 1600 at Caulfield, and then he was, he peaked on his run the last 100 metres there. Second up at Sandown again, he looked like he was going to run into a clear third, and he just fell into third. And he was the quickest splits of the race from the 600 to the 200, and he was the ninth fastest last 200 metres. I just have reservations whether he runs beyond 1400 metres, and you're going to have to take a relatively short price to find out. So he can win, and he might be the best horse, and he might be too good for them, but I'm going to be against him at the price. O2 Good's an interesting mare. She's, two wins, 2 seconds from four starts, but she's first up. She's had plenty of jump outs. There's a bit of pressure around her, and she's lightly raced. At the price, I'm just going to go with Belt Hill, who's a bit of a first up specialist, and he's two from two at Geelong as well. So, going to need some luck from the draw, but if he gets it, I think he's over the odds.
Fantastic. And I think you've got something for us in the early races. The bookies are a bit slack. They're a bit slow to put their price up, which need to get a hurry on. So we don't have prices, but you still might have a couple for us early
Yeah,
on spec.
so on spec, a horse that I've always had a bit of time for is Akasita, and he's been gelded this preparation. I think he may have had a bleed before a spell at Flemington where he was in a handy race and was just too bad to be true. But He put up with some issues. He's been gelded since. He's trialled well, as you'd expect. He's that sort of horse that's going to trial well. But I think gelded, he might be able to deliver his best. And he showed a lot of promise early in his career. So yeah, he's race two, number five, Akasita. And the other horse that interests me in early betting is Dangerous Liaison. She's race four, number 12. She's one that I'm hoping the market will miss here. She's in a second preparation for the Hayes stable. Now, in her first campaign up in Queensland, things didn't go her way in a couple of strong races. She was wide first start for the Hayes boys. Then she struck a wet track. So they sent her straight to the paddock. She returned at Seymour in a fillies and mares 70, but it wasn't an ordinary fillies and mares 70. Splashback won it on debut for the Begg stable. I think she's destined for some bigger and better things. And the second horse, 10 deep, goes pretty well as also. So hoping, given she started 950 there, that the market just misses her a little bit down in grade here with the benefit of that run under the belt and a barrier that they're pretty astute with their tactics, the Hayes team now. Hopefully they can just position her a bit closer in running than what she has done previously. And market might hopefully miss her early and we can have something either each way or to win based on what sort of price we get.
Unreal, mate. Great summation of all the races from Geelong. And I thought just to finish off, we might just have a little chat about what you did today, the processes and stuff you went through. You know, share as much as you're willing to about how you came to the position now where you've pretty much done the form for the meeting. So we know that acceptances came out this morning at around 9 a.m. Do you even start looking at the weights and stuff before the nominations, which have the weights before
acceptances? Sometimes, yeah, depending on how my work schedule flows. But first and foremost, so with our process for racing.com, we have to put in the form factors for each runner. We do our speed maps and summaries, etc. So when I'm covering a meeting for racing.com, I'll kick things off for each race, do a speed map, go through each runner, put in their form factors. I might write some notes if I'm working on the coverage, just to jog my memory when I'm doing my comments for the horse, and then I'll do a summary at the end of it. I usually don't write my summaries until I've seen the prices.
Yep.
And after I've done my maps and I've gone through every runner, I might have a rough idea of what I want the market to be, which is particularly more with the key chances.
And it's just gut feel, right? You just sort of think, well, this should be about that price.
Yeah, and rather than pricing it to 100%, which is going to take some time.
Yep.
And getting into the nitty-gritty of pricing all the horses that I've basically put the pen through. It's more just a gut feel. And then once the markets are up, I'll go through and enter my summary and my selections, et cetera, based on what I think the value in the race is going to be.
Yeah. And do you find how close is your gut feel to what the market often throws up?
Oh, it really varies. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, there'll be meetings where they'll miss this. And then they all open favorite and then you're struggling to find a bet.
Yeah.
There are other meetings where you've sort of done your market and you've got what you roughly think it'll be. Like this horse will probably come up, you know, $4 favorite. This will be $5.50. This will be $8. And you know, the thing you think's favorite's has come up $8. The next one's $11, and the other one's $16. And some horse you don't like at all has come up favorite. So it really just varies. I don't know if that's got something to do with, you know, the different traders that work different days, etc. But it's nice when it's different to what you think. That's the opportunity, isn't it?
And how many bets do you normally get out of a meeting when you're doing it for .com? Is there
so variable? Yeah, so variable. So I did a meeting at Bairnsdale the other Monday. I only found a couple of bets. Thankfully, both of them won. But there's other meetings where you might find, you know, if you're betting a couple of bets a race in some races and 7 or 8 out of 10 races on a Saturday, you might find 9 or 10 bets across the meeting. So, it's so variable.
And how patient are you? Are you pretty price sensitive?
Yeah, very. So it's all about price for me. So just trying to, in our job, it's very hard to, so it's sort of almost shaped the way I'm punting these days. It's very hard to be too on top of things late, because obviously we're covering the meeting, we're on air, and our first and foremost, the job is to be presenting the meeting for racing.com. So it means you're not able to be like monitoring the exchange and trying to get your bets on as late as possible with all the information possible. So I find for me personally, the best way to get an edge is to bet early in for these meetings where I've done my form prior to the markets and then really try and take advantage of any big mistakes.
Mm-hmm. And what part or what segment of the market do you find that you predominantly play in? I was talking to Dan O'Sullivan the other day. He says he likes that top of the market, $4 and under, the more
Yep.
favored runners. What segment do you like?
I'm sort of around the $3 to anywhere up to
Whatever.
like, yeah, as
50s.
high as they go.
Yeah.
So not backing many horses under $3,
Yeah.
and often, quite often I'll tip a horse under $3, but that's because it opened significantly better. And I backed Moby Dick second up at, I was 250 or 260, and didn't have the greatest comfortable feeling about the bet. In hindsight, probably should have stayed out. But yeah, every now and then there's exceptions. A horse might be 250 or 220 that you think should be $1.40. But
Sure.
generally, yeah, I just don't operate towards that very pointy end of the market because it's just risk versus reward.
Yeah, video watching. Do you do much video watching?
Yep, a lot.
Yeah.
So when I'm doing the form for a meeting, I feel you have to be absolutely across every runner because in our role, owners are listening in, and punters, and everyone these days has so much information, is so well versed that you basically have to know as much as you can about every runner so that you aren't saying something that they're sitting home going, well, actually, that's not true.
Yeah.
Watch a lot of replays, and you use benchmark sectional times, punting form, form king, etc.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, well, great first session. We're going to do this again next week for
Yep,
Bendigo
looking
Cup.
forward
You'll
to
be
it.
back.
Yes, we'll
You'll be
do. That'll
back.
hopefully, we get as good a meeting at
Yeah.
Bendigo as we have at Geelong.
And we've got a lot of racing. We've got Friday night at the Valley, then we've got Cox
Yes,
Plate Day as well. So
it's going to be a rip of the Cox
who's going to win the
Plate.
Cox Plate?
I don't know at this stage. I think prognosis. I
Okay.
think prognosis is the way I'll. I'm going to just wait till the final field and see what we're looking at, weather, etc. But I think the Japanese horse. I don't know. What do you think at this stage? Like, I'm thinking that Jenny. Is there a risk?
Yeah.
Jenny's very flat.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
weak back up with travel.
Yeah. I think I probably prognosis. Broad siding is interesting. I think they went up $11 broad siding after the Guineas. Brilliant price into sort of seven or
Yeah.
$8 now. It's been a great race. It's interesting that it's quite compact field. How can you rule out Mr. Brightside? You know,
Yeah.
he's probably even more likely to get that hard runner than that he's pretty good at with a smaller field.
He'd love some rain, wouldn't he?
Yes. Have we got any coming? Do you know?
It's variable,
It's
but
Melbourne, so
yeah,
yeah.
exactly. But I don't think it's gonna be serious. But if for whatever reason it rained on the day, then all of a sudden it would just enhance his chances so much.
Yeah, brilliant. All right, well, that brings our Geelong Cup set to a close. And as you know, I always like to leave you with a bit of a pump up. Ladbrokes are producing the best content possible at the moment, which we expect of them because it's the best racing. And of course, Media Puzzle won the Geelong Cup way back in the day. Then Damien Oliver took Media Puzzle on to win the Melbourne Cup, which is probably the greatest story in Australian racing history. Here's a little story about that. Enjoy the Geelong Cup on Wednesday. Thanks for your support. Thank you very much, Ben, up the den. We'll see you next week.
The Ladbrokes Geelong Cup brings back amazing memories for me, especially with Media Puzzle.
They're set for the Geelong Cup.
I think it is probably the biggest significant race leading into the Melbourne Cup.
French horse takes the lead and American goes on to win it. Junadin leads the way and the French do it again.
But it's the Irish horse Media Puzzle and Oliver. Media Puzzle wins by 3 lengths.
I was actually trying to get on Media Puzzle's stablemate, Vinnie Rowe, and Dermot Weld said to me, I've got this other horse called Media Puzzle. I'd never heard of him.
Moving into line now for the Cup.
I galloped him a week before the Geelong Cup, and he just flew at Flemington. I thought, geez, this horse can win a Geelong Cup. And he came here, he bolted in track record time, and all of a sudden I had a great chance in the Melbourne Cup, qualified him. He got a weight kilo penalty from 51 to 52, was right on my minimum weight, but I thought, I've got a great chance going into the Melbourne Cup now.
Media Puzzle and Oliver.
Yeah, 2002 most definitely changed the landscape for the Geelong Cup. Whilst through a lot of tragedy for the Oliver family in losing brother Jason, it helped gain a life of its own, I suppose, in regards to then the story that preceded the Geelong Cup. Obviously, Damien went on to ride Media Puzzle in the Melbourne Cup to victory, the famous salute to the skies. It's a great story, and for us in racing here at Geelong, it certainly probably changed our footprint in the Spring Carnival.
2008, I was lucky enough to ride Bower in the Geelong Cup. Remember it vividly. He was a little pocket rocket, and he had a great turn of foot and settled really well, really nimble sort of horse.
Bower in front, and Ollie's going to win the Cup. Bower goes home and wins it a length.
He did win it really well, and I thought he had a great chance going into that Melbourne Cup.
Maybe one more stride, he probably gets his nose in front and then creates another double Geelong Melbourne Cup winner. We've just had some great history through the race. 2019 Prince of Arran again. Michael Walker rides here into the Melbourne Cup. It was a super run here. Again, was a little bit of a hard luck story, I believe, in the Melbourne Cup in regards to, you know, getting a run at the right time and, again, making a late dash.
What a win to Prince of Arran.
Most definitely. Prince of Arran's another one that stands out. The Ladbrokes Geelong Cup 2024, to be having the 137th running of our Geelong Cup is very, very exciting.
What about this, Rico?
Now, if Amadei was to salute, he would become the first back-to-back winner of the Geelong Cup.
A maid in the middle's blown them out.
Amadei has the potential to create history in our Geelong Cup folklore.
One of the great finishes in a Geelong Cup.
Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.